Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. And after they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please come right away." Peter went with them, and upon his arrival, he was taken into the upstairs room. And all the widows stood beside him, crying, as they showed the tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made for them while she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room, and then knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat. He gave her his hand and raised her up. And then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Been looking at what it means to have the Holy Spirit's power within us. And this week, specifically, the authority of the Holy Spirit. And then that authority, as Peter shows us, extends even over death and the grave. This is a powerful voice from the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter in this situation. And we remember that resurrection always was a sign of the inbreaking kingdom of God. It was always a sign of God's presence. We remember back to Luke chapter 7 when John's disciples and followers had come to Jesus. And they asked Jesus, "John is wondering, are you the Messiah that is to come? Are you the one that he has prophesied, or is there someone else?" And Jesus responded by describing what he had done to fulfill the coming of the kingdom. And he said that the lame are walking, that the blind see, that the deaf hear, that the lepers are healed, and that the dead are raised. This sign was always a sign of the presence of the kingdom of God. And it would be right to be concerned that after Jesus ascended, that maybe that kingdom doesn't have as much power or authority on earth as it used to. Could the disciples really live up to what Jesus had taught them? And here we see a sign where Peter demonstrates that the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that worked through Jesus to raise Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, that same power and authority was available to Peter and the disciples and all who followed Jesus to speak life into death. But it didn't change the fact that people were still dying. It didn't change the fact that people were still suffering. Eternal resurrection is ultimately our aim. But for this life, we all must die. Even Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and Tabitha, they all had to die again after being risen. And so suffering and death is a part of our reality. But this woman, Tabitha, stands out in her death, because she is the only woman in all of Scripture that is specifically named with the same word used to describe the disciples. She was one of them. There were many women who followed Jesus as disciples, but she is named specifically as a disciple of Jesus. And in her work as a disciple, she shared her talents, her gifts, everything she had with those on the fringe of society, with the widows, with the orphans, with the marginalized, with the people who had nothing. You almost imagine her like a modern, like an ancient version of Mother Teresa, someone who, even out of her own poverty, gave all she had to help ease the suffering of others. And we see this in her funeral, as it were, when Peter comes and all the widows who have been helped, who had nothing, who had been hopeless and distraught because they no longer had any means by which to support themselves. Here they were showing Peter everything that Tabitha had done for them. Look at the clothes that she made for us. Look at how she provided for us and cared for us. Look at how she built us into a community when we had nobody. And now we have each other because of the work that she did. In some ways, she was already living a resurrected life, because she was working among people who to society were already dead, to people who among society were considered outcasts and basically useless, couldn't really do much for themselves. And here she is bringing life into that community. She's already experienced the resurrection power and authority of Christ in the way she lives her life as a disciple. And obviously the people are strong. We don't know exactly what they expected Peter to do. They don't ask him to raise her from the dead. There's no indication that they expect this. But just to have a disciple, an apostle of Jesus there, to honor her memory, would have been enough. Peter walks into the room over the bed. And we might expect him to offer a blessing, a prayer for the people, and an encouraging word for them to continue on the work that Tabitha has taught them and modeled for them. But instead, Peter turns to the bed and says, "Tabitha, get up." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I would have such boldness in such a situation. You ever been to a hospital with somebody in a coma? Can you just imagine walking in? Sometimes we walk into those rooms and the family's there and try to offer them some comforting words, try to pray with them just to be there in that difficult situation. Maybe offer a prayer for the person because we know that they can hear, that they're aware, and so we offer them encouraging words. But I can only imagine if I or any of us walked up to the bed of someone like that and simply said with absolute authority and certainty, as if it was going to happen right this minute, "Jim, get up. And get up. You got work to do. Come on, let's go." I mean, could you imagine if the nurse walked by? Or worse, the family who has been desperately hoping and hears you saying this? I don't understand that kind of authority and confidence. I don't have it in myself to go into a hospital room and to make that proclamation. But Peter didn't give it a second thought. The truth is, though, that whether or not we can physically raise the dead doesn't change our authority and our responsibility to speak life into those situations. And I'll give you an example. There was a lady I have been wrestling and racking my brain all week trying to remember her name. I knew her years ago when I was doing an internship at the hospital and part of my ordination requirements. She was a volunteer at the ICU at a hospital in South Charlotte. And as a volunteer there in the ICU, she always sat outside of the ICU area in the waiting room. And she would make sure that if family came, that she would make sure that they were available for visitation. You know, you could only have two people back there at a time. And so she would help kind of manage that crowd control. And she would provide for them to make sure if they needed snacks or drinks or just be there as a listening ear. She's just a wonderful, sweet volunteer. There all the time. And she gave her whole life to this act of service for those families who were struggling with patients who were often taking their last breaths. And I talked to her, she shared with me her story about how many years before she had been near death, about how she had been in a coma for a couple months. Nobody expected her to live. They assumed it was over. But somehow she kept hanging on. And she recalls her family. She said she remembers the whole time vividly. She said it passed. They told her when she woke up, it had been a couple months. For her, it was like that. It just, she was aware of everything that was happening. She couldn't speak. She couldn't respond. But she was aware of what was going on around her. They didn't know that she was aware. And she would hear the doctors and nurses talking about how hopeless her situation is. And she would hear her family making funeral arrangements there over her bed in the room. And she would get so angry and so frustrated. She said it was just this darkness that just kept clawing at her during that entire time that she was in this coma. And she kept screaming out to her family, to her loved ones, to the nurses, "I'm right here! I'm still alive!" But nobody could hear because she couldn't speak, because she couldn't respond. It was all in her mind, and yet somehow she was aware. And the reason she works in the ICU now, the reason she volunteers day in and day out and spends as much time there as she possibly can, is because she wants people to know that their loved ones can hear them. That their loved ones are already in their minds and in their hearts and in their souls somewhere within them struggling with facing death, potentially. And the last thing they need is those discouraging words from their family. She said that she healed miraculously from that coma, that somehow she awakened, that somehow her determination, her fight, her drive, she just sensed Jesus calling her back. You can almost imagine her in a body like Tabitha's, just lying there, half in this world, half not, hearing Jesus' voice, calling her back to her life. "Rise," he said, and she rose. Maybe not completely from the dead as Tabitha did, but certainly from what everybody considered to be death. And she said that though her body healed, her heart never has, because she could never see her family the same again. Because she knew how frustrated they were during that whole time and how they were just ready to be done with it. How they wished she would just die already so that they could get on with their lives. She knew about the funeral arrangements. She knew everything that they had said about her. And she knew it wasn't a dream. Because when she shared some of the stories with her family that she had heard or that she had seen, family members said there was nobody else in the room when that happened. There's no way anybody else could have told her about these things. She was aware. But she was never able to heal emotionally from all of that negative that was spoken into her in that time. What she needed was somebody to speak life. And so I offer that just to remind us that we as believers in the resurrection have the spiritual authority to speak life, even into the most desperate and hopeless and impossible situations. Whether or not we can physically raise a body is irrelevant. We are called to speak the life and hope of Jesus. We are called to encourage people even when we don't know they can hear us. Even when we don't think our words will matter, because they might in a way we can never understand. There are so many situations in life where we see resurrection happen. When someone who is hopeless and at the bottom of the barrel in the pit stands up and gets back and moves forward with their lives. When enemies or people who have been hurt and betrayed, when even family members who are distant and strange start to reconcile and forgive, there's a resurrection and a hope for a new life. When communities start to work together, and instead of fighting against one another, and instead of trying to hold on and protect our own interests, we start as a community to share and to give and to provide for each other and help our communities out of cycles of poverty and despair. There's a resurrection. There's so many ways in which God is still raising the dead. So many ways in which he's speaking hope and life into disparaging situations, impossible circumstances. And he's given us the authority and the command to do that. Tabitha did that. Even before she died, she was in an impossible circumstance among a poverty-stricken group of women who had no hope and nobody to care about them. And she spoke life to them. She became a mother to that community. in a way they never been used. And in her resurrection, it wasn't just about the fact that she was raised. That's great for a time, but eventually she's going to die again. But what happened in that moment is that the people of that community learned the hope and the life of Jesus firsthand. And they knew that no matter how long or how short a time they had with him, they as a community were given new life and new hope. And they could continue to expand, and they could continue to serve others in need in their community. And the church would grow and blossom because Peter had the confidence and the strength to exercise the spiritual authority and speak life into that room full of death. Jesus always speaks life into death. And in one of the times that Jesus raised the dead, it was Lazarus, his dear friend. And he said, "Lazarus, come out of the tomb." And Lazarus was bound in his grave clothes. And he tells the people around him, "Friends, unbind him, set him free." See, there's many of us in this room, I imagine, who have experienced death in many ways, in many forms, who have experienced that darkness, who somewhere in the back of our minds have been screaming out, and nobody could hear us because we never said it out loud. We were agonizing over something. We were stressed. We were worried. We didn't know how to articulate our fear or our emotions. And so we never said it. We were like that person in the column. We were dead and buried in our hearts and our minds. And we didn't know if there was any hope. We didn't know if Jesus could ever get us through this situation. Maybe somebody in this room is in that situation right now. I don't know how I'm going to get through whatever this is that I'm dealing with. Maybe it's hopeless. I feel bound. And I'm screaming out, but nobody can hear me. And even if I say it, nobody will understand me. And nobody can help. It's just, we feel so alone. And so I'm going to invite you now to allow yourself to be bound. Just place your hands across, either crossing your arms or across your chest, however. And imagine yourself being bound in those grave clothes. Close your eyes and put yourself in that place. And allow God to bring to mind whatever that situation, whatever that circumstance in life is that feels hopeless. It feels like you've got no control over this. You've got no authority. Nobody can change it. Nobody can understand. How am I going to get through this? Is this the end? Is this how I'm going to have to spend the rest of my life? Whatever that situation is, hold on to that. Imagine yourself lying there like that, in that place of death. And you hear Jesus' words, or Peter's words, or the words of a Christian family member or friend who take the authority of the Spirit and say, "Rise, come forth, come out of that pit of darkness. For Jesus has risen and he is offering you new life." And then as we come out and we come forth from that, we find ourselves sometimes like Lazarus. Maybe we've tried to go forth, and we're awake and we're aware, but somehow we're still bound. Somehow our hands are still tied. And Jesus says to the community around us, he says to our family, he says to our church, he says, "Unbind them. Unbind them. And allow your arms, as you feel led, as you feel ready, allow your arms to be free. Feel the church surrounding you in prayer and allowing your arms and your legs to be free. That you're not only back to life, just living sort of day to day in this fog, but that you're truly set free. And that you can go forth just as Tabitha and her community did, to continue to unbind others who are in those hopeless situations, to exercise that spiritual authority to speak life into the most dark and hopeless places. Jesus says, "Rise,
Unbind them.
And that is our task.
To die to ourselves, to raise into the newness of the life of Christ.
To be unbound by the Spirit and to go forth and do the same for someone else.
And so let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that in you we have already gotten that whole death thing out of the way. That we've already given our whole selves on your altar. That we've been crucified with Christ and buried with him and risen in our baptism to walk in newness of life. And so we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear darkness. We don't have to fear evil. We don't have to stay bound because you have set us free. And so, Lord, help each one here today experience that freedom afresh. To walk out feeling lighter than when we came in. More hopeful. With a smile maybe that we never imagined possible. And Lord, help us to be aware of others in our midst. Who are screaming out from that darkness and nobody can hear them. Help us to be sensitive to them. Speak a word of hope and life, and to raise them in the power of the Holy Spirit to the new life that you have promised. In Jesus' precious name, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.